Good morning. Today is Tuesday, November the 4th, that day, 2020. Joining us this morning is that guy, Joe McCauley. Good morning.
Hey, Brian, how are you?
Strangely relieved.
Well, I think a lot of us are going to feel that way.
Yeah.
I'm not sure everybody's going to.
It was weird turning in my ballot at a grocery store.
Yeah.
I think maybe that's part of the relief. Angie mentioned it also that it was weird, but because we voted early, first time we've ever not gone to the polling station, right? Okay, it's over.
Yeah.
And now we just go, we go for the ride.
Yeah, we voted by mail last week.
You've done that customarily, vote by mail. Yeah, yeah.
And so we voted by mail last week. I am a little concerned that I have two adult sons. Neither one of them have lived in California for years. One of them has been a Hawaii resident, a part-timer in Afghanistan, back to Hawaii, over to Seoul, back to Hawaii, then to Arizona, now in Oregon. And the county elections office, who has been notified, the jury's been notified time and time again that he's not here, sent him a ballot. I have a son who lives in Alaska, who has formerly a resident of Oregon, hasn't been a California resident for years and years and years and years and years. The Humboldt County Elections Office sent a mail-in ballot for him as well. So I'm a little
maybe I had to look for dad's process.
I know we're assured there's no fraud, right, but I'm a little worried about process. And that
fraud is intent,
said,
right?
Huh?
Fraud is defined as intent.
Yeah, intent is
about sloppy.
Anyway, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know about that. All I know is we got a lot of cleaning up to do to make this all work. That being said, I'm like you. I'm relieved we're at the election day, and it'll be nice to have this behind us. I just hope that we all can behave like adults,
I guarantee you that
there's things most of us aren't going to get 100%. So let's just get over it, deal with it, and have some grace for one another, and quit pointing fingers at one another like, you don't agree with me, you're a bad person. I'm tired of that kind of thing. So I think
no plywood on the windows tonight.
No. Anyway, no, I don't think we'll have those kind of problems. But you can see some of the areas that have been problematic for a long time, regardless of what happens, are likely to have problems.
Right. All righty, Winston, why do we say that? Let's get this show on the road.
This is a first. It does not come from the book. I had to do a little searching on the web, since it is Election Day. Where did the word democracy originate from?
Cicero?
It's Greek, right?
Yeah. Well, so, Republic also. I think it's Cicero, or I don't think it was Plato.
You're in the ballpark since it is Greek.
Okay, so I'm right. It was Greek. So I took the low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
Go ahead, big boy. You're taller.
Did it have to do with the Greek Senate? Well, that's about as far as I'm going to go. I've been befuddled for the last hour going through things. Whoa, Mr. Kelly. Wait, somebody spilled some paint on you? That is the brightest polo shirt I think I've ever seen you in like 40 years.
Yeah. Well, if you have my personality, you need to wear colorful clothing.
Wow.
It's an offset.
Okay.
I'm still boring.
At least it's not highlighter yellow.
It's brighter.
It has its origins in the Greek language. Believed to originate in Athens circa 580 AD, it combines the two shorter words, demos, meaning whole citizen living within a particular city-state, and kratos, meaning power or rule.
I was wrong.
Well, I was right, but I didn't take a very deep swipe.
I still have a weird time thinking about Cicero and Plato and those guys almost being alive about the same time as Christ. So on one side, you got somebody stomping around in the dust. On the other side, you've got the Parthenon and all those superstructures that are there. I guess there's always been those that have and those that don't have.
Yeah, and there's
and then those pyramid
there's
things
some
too.
Interesting history of of things in that realm. Obviously, things were a little quieter here in most of North America during that time period.
Well, in the satellites, you just couldn't get reception.
Yeah, my radio didn't have good signal.
Yeah. Oh, man, and you know what a bugger it was trying to sight a tower? Oh, gee. Kind of quite, you know, we talk an awful lot about planning and pre-planning and that kind of stuff for tax purposes. I think everybody's pretty much aware that Dad died about a month. Well, I guess it was. Was it 4 weeks ago? Jeez, I blinked. Okay. Estate planning and as part of financial planning. Do we pay enough attention to that kind of stuff?
Often not. There are a lot of people who do and do a really good job with it. And then there are times where people will pass and realize that, first of all, there's some people who don't do any.
I can't imagine the nightmare that would
like
be.
Like Prince.
Yeah, with plenty of zeros, could have been done. Yeah.
A lot could have been done. I mean, I guess Aretha Franklin, is that right? I think she had kind of very limited estate planning going on. And those are just easy, you know. Again, those are out of the news kind of things. So you see people who don't do much, or if what they've done, and then the other piece you see is time has eroded the effectiveness of the plan that was devised.
It dialed in 25 years ago.
Right. And so the trust, let's say the trust document was written in 2003. Well, you know, by, 17, 18 years later, things are different. And in some cases, a lot of things are different. And so that's the challenge in a lot of cases, is just to go back and revisit what the plan was and determine, is it still valid? And I think in most cases, you know, you've got, you know, where you have attorneys and accountants actively involved in those things, you're going to see those issues addressed. But where you don't, and you kind of just say, hey, I don't think I need to do anything, and everything rides, sometimes that's fine, and sometimes that can be a problem.
Yeah, the daily creep is not that big a deal, but when you sit back and go, you know, it's been 15 years.
Yeah, I now have these grandchildren I didn't have, or, you know.
Yeah.
And there are other circumstances, too, that can come along.
It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy Radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Bill McCauley. So, Bill, how do you start? You know, if somebody, I guess first step in trying to establish a will or an estate plan is, do you qualify? You know, does everybody qualify? Wills, yeah. I think that's...
Yeah, almost everybody should have a will. And it depends who you talk to about whether people should consider something more robust than that. I mean, I've heard people... I've heard a pretty good attorney say, well, you know, maybe people don't need as many trusts as we've been forming. I personally have a trust. I recommend people consider getting a trust, talking to an attorney. And
so what does a trust do?
Okay, so a trust is basically a vehicle for the grantors to describe what they want to happen under a set of circumstances.
Okay. And that very is so different from a will by...
Yeah, it's a little different from a will because a trust can avoid probate, whereas if assets are governed only by a will, often those are going to be subject to probate, which is a public process, which means that that information is available at the courthouse, and B, it can be expensive depending on the size of the estate because of what are referred to as statutory fees. There are fees that are set by statute that are pretty generous for both the executor as well as the legal counsel. And so a lot of people try to avoid being in that situation because of that. There are some attorneys that will work for a standard rate based on their time and charges rather than the statutory fee but that was something you definitely would want to clear up front. So a trust basically creates, so it establishes who's creating it. It establishes who it's to benefit and under what terms it would to benefit people. It also establishes what happens if a trustor, a grantor, or a trustor is disabled, or what happens generally, or what happens if they're deceased.
And then more than a durable power of medical.
That's a separate document, the durable power of attorney, that would be set up for. Often some people have a durable power of attorney for health care, and then they'll have a durable power of attorney for certain financial activities too, which can come into play when someone is unable to take care of all their financial responsibilities due to, and not necessarily that they don't have the resources, but they don't have necessarily the capacity to do it because their health is such that it becomes very difficult. And that can be physical health, mental health, and a combination. So a trust is set up to then make, to be used as a vehicle for the trustors to determine here's what we're going to have happen when upon this set of circumstances and potentially upon that set of circumstances and maybe even on that set of circumstances.
So functionally they're related, I guess.
The will and the trust are related. The will, generally, if you have create a trust, you will rewrite your will and say, hey, look, if we missed anything and it didn't get in the trust, we use a term, they'll use a term, and when I say we, I don't write trusts, I don't write wills, that's legal work. I'm not trying to intrude in the legal profession in any way. But typically the will say, we'll use a term that we call a pour-over will. It says, hey, look, if we missed anything, it didn't get in the trust, we want it in there, so dump it in. So, and that can be an issue if the value is significant enough. It still may trigger some probate issues, even though, you know, administratively it'll get dealt with in the trust, but it may effectively have to be probated to get into the trust. So,
roughly, where is that threshold point?
$100,000.
Oh, so it's a rather modest.
Potentially, depending on your facts and circumstances. So,
$10 million might be the threshold point, right, for the additional complication.
So if you left the car and didn't put it in the trust, and let's say the car is not a collectible, it's just a vehicle, so it's worth $20,000. Picking a number out of the sky for illustration purposes, and let's say you got a bank account that maybe has $12,000 in it, and that's those assets, for whatever reason, weren't put in the in the trust. They're just left in the name of the decedent. Then those assets are less than $100,000, and there's a quickie process to get them into the, you know, to be dealt with by the trust and to avoid really any costly probate action on that. So that often is what happens. I mean, it can be, for insurance purposes, it can be sometimes awkward to put, depending on the insurer and different situations, it can be awkward to put a car in the trust.
Sure, because they spend so regularly for most folks.
Yeah, and it's just, and sometimes insurance companies aren't too thrilled with the owner being other than an individual. And so anyway, you have to work through, navigate that. But generally, that's not a big deal, although at the price of vehicles these days, you know, a couple of new vehicles.
Sure, thanks for bringing that one up.
Not that I noticed.
Yeah. Me either.
Not that I noticed. Anyway, so the point being, the trigger for this is if you have assets and you want to control what happens to them and you don't want to leave it to the court, you know, people who die intestate, then intestate is without a will or without estate planning documents, the court is going to have supervision over what happens. And if you don't want to leave it to the court, then you want to take care of the issue.
Yeah, unless you want to support the local law community.
That's all fine, but generally then
what a nightmare,
court
though.
Is going to interpret what your wishes would be, not necessarily you stating what they are.
Right. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Hi, my name is Keith Lund. I am an electrician for Owsley Electric. You can go into a trade, be 18, become a trainee. They do require some education. You have 120 hours of classroom education, plus you have to work 2,000 hours a year. So after 4 years, then you can go out and work for another company, getting your own certificate, become your own boss. There's quite a few options you can do.
Own your future and learn more about the Trades Academy at hcoe.org.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back talking shop this morning with Bill McCauley. So, Bill, we're at the spot where we kind of have a general sense of, okay, we gotta or we don't gotta, as far as a trust or, you know, additional to a will. How granular do we get with this? I mean, you could have down to the crystal napkin rings from great grandma worth whatever. Or you could say everything on the first floor is this kid, everything on the second floor is that kid. Is there a rhyme or reason or a way to approach? Because a lot of us, you know, particularly if you don't move, there's that accumulation factor and you don't remember that you've got some stuff until you start going through this stuff.
Yeah, the personal property is really can be one of the more problematic areas of the whole thing. I mean, you know, if there's money in an IRA, then there's a beneficiary designation on the IRA account, and that's where it goes. It's done.
And you didn't grow up with the IRA, you know, so there's no emotional.
But, you know, there's the house, there's potentially the vacation house, there's, you know, those things come with more strings. And so...
And contents within each.
Right,
yeah.
And so those all become more challenging because you can have one child feel really strong about mom and dad's house that they can actually drag things out because they don't want to make decisions. They just don't want to get rid of anything. And so, so sometimes I've seen where that can be a challenge because people are trying, you know, kind of waiting to get everybody on the same page, because it's a lot easier if you have two or three kids that the two or three kids, when this stuff is being dealt with, are on a similar page and say, yeah, we can agree that we want to have, you know, this is going to go here and this one's going to go there, and then the rest of it we're going to sell or whatever we're going to do, you know, and some of it obviously, you know, really isn't saleable ultimately.
Right, yeah, so, pictures of great-grandma.
Yeah,
you know, the sentimental value, mm-hmm. and that's about all she wrote, and I would suspect that that's where some of the battles often happen. Is there's two pictures of grandpa, and there's three kids.
Yeah.
Okay, who, if everybody wants a picture, okay, or the family photo album? I guess that's another one. You know,
in this day and age, you know, my solution would be to digitize it. And say, okay, they're digitized. Does anybody really want the originals? If so, then you'd have to work through it. And generally, these things all just have to be, the key to working through that part of the administration is being upfront what the process is going to be. Because if you have a process that changes while people are saying, yeah, I want this and I want that, that people will sense that as unfair, and then the administrator gets put in a difficult spot, the successor trustee or whoever's administering the trust at that point. So it's really important to be clear up front. This is how we're going to do this, and you got to look to the trust document and say, is it what specific things in the trust document say, oh, well, you know, my stamp collection goes to Junior. Okay, well then Junior, he or she gets the stamp collection.
It's pretty black and white stuff, yeah.
And then, oh, this, you know, the dishes go to, you know,
Bobby Sue, yeah.
Yeah, whatever it is. And, whoever it might be. And the point being, sometimes those things, for different families, those things can have different values. Because some families were really big on the holiday dishes. So the holiday dishes can be the big flashpoint for people going, well, I wanted the holiday dishes. You know, and then you have to deal with that issue.
Right.
And it depends on what, you know, I mean, it depends what your children are. You know, I got two boys. They're probably like, eh,
their spouses aren't aggressive. Yeah. And I would suspect that that's one of the, the concerns is if there's an aggressive spouse of an offspring, so there's somebody in the background stirring it up.
That can be the case. Yeah. And I think in general, when it comes to trust administration, being, getting a plan and being transparent about what's going on will avoid potentially a lot of problems. There are some people, we all know people that doesn't matter what happens, they're not going to be happy. All right, well, then, do the best you can, but understand you're going to have a problem. There are other times where it's like, if you're just fair and everybody knows what the process is, most people are happy, and that's kind of the norm, but that's incumbent upon the administrator to be transparent in what they're doing and be consistent and fair and not change the rules because, we're going to change the rules because my son wants this. That's not cool.
Right.
And that will create stress, and what it creates is distrust. And when you have – and so lack of information, I think – and I took a psychology class in college. Okay, so I'm pretty
I'm sure much, it was an advanced
I'm,
one too.
I'm pretty much an expert on psychology. But I do think that it's like my son when he was married for like 4 months, he would walk up to people and talk about, his vast experience being a married man. Anyway, offering advice.
Yeah, I bet you that one's changed a little bit too, huh?
Oh, yeah. So anyway, the point being that I don't even know what the point is at this point.
You passed the class in psych.
Yeah, I passed. The point with psychology is that, you just need to understand that people who lack information tend to get distrustful. That's just human nature. So you want to avoid that.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Bill McCauley as we are kind of sharing a little bit of insight about trusts and estates and what some of the do's and some of the don'ts. I would suspect with something like an estate, you want to have legal, you want to have someone with financial knowledge, not knowledge, but expertise. Is there anybody else that's in the equation that often is overlooked? Ought to be part of that team?
It depends on the estate and the nature of the asset. So if one of the assets is an operating business, that's going to include a bigger team than if the estate is CDs, a bank account, and that's it, right? I mean, that's not going to require a big team. So if there's money that – if you have assets that are in retirement accounts and those are generally pretty easy because they're controlled by beneficiary designation on the account. But if you have other securities, then you're probably going to want to involve and have as part of the group who's dealing with it, somebody who represents the asset management side of things, so that if you're your broker or somebody, at least so that they understand when funding occurs that they're going to get instructions, this is what they're going to do, and they're giving you advice about the underlying assets. Generally, there'll be a basis step up. So basis, which is what you'd measure gain or loss against, and for the generally the basis is stepped up as the date of death. Not always, depends on facts and circumstances.
Tax implications.
That's my point with basis. If there's a full basis step up, the tax implications aren't so bad. If there was a trust that was created when the first spouse died, then that generally those assets don't get a basis step up and the second spouse dies. So that becomes a management issue where you're going to need more inputs to be able to make decisions. Sometimes insurance folks are involved in administration. So it just depends on the estate. But typically a typical team that's going to be kind of working on it is going to be an attorney, a person, generally somebody on the tax side of things, and often somebody with the financial advisor. Those are typically the people that are going to be the most intimately involved.
Or business consultant if there's, right. Or I guess maybe the outreach from the estate if there is one of those situations.
Right, and then you know, the executor or the trustee is going to be responsible to reach out and get what they need. So if they've got a lot of personal property they need to dispose of, they're going to be looking for somebody who can assist them with the potentially an estate sale, or depending on, again, it depends on what people want. And it's every situation's different. Sometimes nobody wants any of the personal property, really. And sometimes, you know, it gets fought over
hammer and tongs. Yeah,
for, you know, oh, that was Grandpa's favorite pencil, you know, and then you're at a point where that's really hard. That's where it gets hard. And sometimes you end up just have to say, okay, look, we're going to try to create a structure, and if it doesn't work, we'll do something that just makes this whole problem go away.
How much time does it take?
It depends. Great. I love that answer. It depends. Yeah. It depends.
It is the season.
You know, if you had a really, again, my simple example, somebody with some CDs and a small cash account and that's it, and they're living in senior living facility and they don't have a house, they don't have real property, they don't have, you know, much they maybe they had a teacher's pension that goes away upon death. That's pretty easy. Not going to take much time at all. If you've got people with a relatively far-flung assembly of assets, it's going to take more time. Generally, it takes more time than you think. If you look at it, go, it'll only take 6 months. It's going to take 12. If you think, it's going to take 12, it's probably going to take almost 24. It always takes more time than you think.
Oh, joy. And with those pearls, we're going to head on out. Thanks for coming by.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you, Brian.
See everybody tomorrow.